Bibles at the book of Leviticus together. Let's find Leviticus in our Old Testaments. Appreciate so much this opportunity we have to be together to study God's Word and to sing praises to Him. It's always such a joy to sing with Brother Braswell leads, isn't it? And he does such a fine job. And we're blessed with a number of good song leaders here, able men who are willing to lead us in our worship from week to week in this place. Was a little, is a little chilly this morning, huh? I think winter's come. I know it was chilly yesterday, but I also know that a number of you got out in the morning and did some visiting, took some care baskets around to different members, as well as some of the elderly and shut-ins in the congregation. And I know that really meant a lot to them. And in fact, probably the visit meant even more than the care basket. But I just want to say thank you, because I know so many pitch in and help with that, and some people give money and they are baking up goods and they're delivering and just many aspects of it. I want to say thank you, and I want to say thank you especially to Sister Tammy Nicholson and Sister Leanne Garrison that do so much in organizing that effort, and it's really a good thing. It's really a good thing. Well, as I'm sure you're aware, this Thursday is our National Thanksgiving holiday, and what a wonderful time of year it is as a nation that we set aside a day to consider and to express gratitude for our many blessings. And it's so good to be a Christian, because we actually know exactly who we are thanking for all of our blessings. And it's not just on one day a year, but truly daily, we need to be a thankful people and expressing gratitude to God for all He has done. We serve the true and living God. He is the one that gives blessings, every good thing, in James 1, in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The Father of lights, our Father, He is the giver of every good gift. We know Him, we love Him, and we serve Him. Well, last year about this time, I brought a lesson exploring some of the national history, as well as religious history, behind our holiday of Thanksgiving. We talked a little bit about Puritans and about pilgrims. And hopefully we learned a little something about what it means to be a sojourner or a pilgrim for God. And this year I got to thinking about a biblical precedent for a day of Thanksgiving or a time of Thanksgiving. And that got me looking in the Old Testament, and that got me looking especially at the book of Leviticus. And sure enough, brethren, among the five types of offerings, the five types of sacrifices that the Levitical priests perform, there are peace offerings. And a subset of peace offerings are sacrifices of thanksgiving, or thank offerings, some of your Bibles say. And so we read in Leviticus 22 and verse 29, instruction about this. And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. On the same day it shall be eaten. You shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. Yeah, what I came to learn this week and what I hope to share with you some today is that the ancient Israelites had many occasions of thanksgiving, national occasions of thanksgiving, as well as individual times of thanksgiving over the course of their lives. And they would perform these sacrifices, these thank offerings at the tabernacle, later on at the temple. What we learn from their practices gives us great insight into the gospel. Because all these Old Testament sacrifices, in one way or another, they foreshadow Christ, and they are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and they are fulfilled in the gospel of Christ. But to learn more of this also fills our hearts with a greater gratitude for God. And so for a couple of moments, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles as we consider peace and thanksgiving. Peace and thanksgiving. Now, we're going to spend just a little bit of time in Leviticus, and I want to start in Leviticus chapter 7. So let's begin in Leviticus chapter 7. Talk a little bit about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's number one in your notes. You will read this expression in the book of Leviticus, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, or some of your translations will say thank offerings. But these are thanksgiving sacrifices, and a particular kind of worship offered through the Levitical priests. As we turn to Leviticus, we're noticing chapter 7. We learn a little something about peace offerings. Now, we won't read all of these passages, but suffice it to say, God had appointed his priests, the Levites, to perform different sacrifices for different purposes on behalf of his Israelite people. And so the people would come and they would bring a particular animal for a particular sacrifice to achieve a particular goal or to proclaim forth a particular truth. And so you have the burnt offering, a whole animal sacrifice for atonement. The grain offering was often associated with first fruits as well, but this was dedication or consecration. The peace offering, that's what we're talking about today, communicated reconciliation and fellowship with God. These were sacrifices that showed everything was right between me and God. The sin offerings, animals were killed for the propitiation of sins or to pay for sins. The trespass offering, these were offerings, a sign of repentance. But what we are really honing in on are these peace offerings. Their purpose was about reconciliation and fellowship, showing forth that everything was right between God and his people. There was peace between them. And so one of the unique things about the peace offerings is, and where you really got the sign that everything's right between me and God, is that these sacrifices culminated in a meal, in a feast. That didn't happen every time when you would bring animals up to be sacrificed. They'd kill the animals and they'd be burned up there. Or they'd be butchered and portions would be given to the priests and other people. But you didn't always take home the meat. Here you did. With peace offerings and particularly thank offerings, you did. Not only did you get to bring most of the meat home with you, but there were specific instructions, eat all of it today. And so a table fellowship, an eating together, was communicated when they performed these sacrifices acceptably. There were three kinds of peace offerings. There were thank offerings. All right, and what thank offerings meant was this was an expression of gratitude for an unexpected blessing or a deliverance. There were votive offerings. These were offerings that expressed gratitude to God for a specific blessing, a specific deliverance, where the petitioner had made a vow. Now, I vowed something to God if he'll do this for me, if he'll bring this about. And he did. Well, now I need to go up to the tabernacle, to the temple, and sacrifice something for this, make a peace offering. And then there was free will offerings. Some Israelites would just be moved that God is so great, God is so good all the time. Let's just go bring the sacrifice. A free will offering without perhaps, it didn't pertain maybe to any specific blessing or deliverance. Well, we're talking about these thank offerings. And what I want to do in the next part of the lesson is kind of put on our investigative journalist hats, if you will, and we're going to answer the big questions about these thank offerings. Who, what, when, where, why, and how? All right? So let's look at Leviticus 7. And let's be thinking about who, what, when, where, why, and how. And we'll put that together with a couple other scriptures. What's the deal with the thank offerings? Okay, the thank offerings. Leviticus 7, let's read together in verse 11. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cake, as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood as the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering, the thanksgiving, shall be eaten for the thanksgiving, shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. Did you catch all that? That's why we love reading Leviticus, isn't it? It's very, very specific. All the rules that go along with it. But there's some really neat things going on here. I want to show with you. Who's involved in these thanksgiving sacrifices? Well, God's involved. He's involved every time there's a sacrifice. There's a priest involved, one to slay the animal and burn it correctly. But then there's also the offerer, okay, the person that brought the animal. So these three are involved, the Israelite people offering this worship. And what is it that they're doing with a sacrifice of thanksgiving or a thank offering? They're offering an animal sacrifice, okay? And as you read Leviticus chapter 3, you find out that there's a lot of latitude in what these animals could be. You could take one, either male or female, from the herd had to be at least 8 days old, but it could be male or female from the herd. It could be male or female from the flocks. It could be goats, all right? Any type of animal like this. They didn't really use birds, but any of these other animals. And then what else were you supposed to bring? Bread, cakes, drink. All of this was supposed to be brought at the same time to the priest. And after they killed the animal and sacrificed it, they would burn up the fatty organs on the altar. And they would leave the breast there at the tabernacle or temple. That was God's portion. He would give it to the priest. They would leave the right shoulder there, the right leg there of the animal. That was the priest's portion for their sacrifice. But then all the rest got to come back home with them. With the instructions. Eat it today. Now think about that. If you have to eat all of a cow or the calf, or you've got to eat all the sheep or all the goat in one day, plus there's these cakes and bread and all this stuff. What does that mean? It means a feast, doesn't it? I bet some of us are planning on having a turkey later this week. Very few are planning to eat it all in one day. Right? We're going to have the turkey, and then we want to have our turkey sandwiches the next day, and turkey pot pie, and turkey tetrazzini, and turkey a la mode. We're not even going to try and eat a turkey in one day. They're going to eat a cow in one day. How are they going to do that? Feast. Feast. All the friends, all the family, all the neighbors, something for the poor. Feast. Their thanksgiving was to God. When would they do this? We read several occasions, national holidays. There were tons of thanks offerings that went along with the consecration of a king or the dedication of the temple, the high days, all of the holy days always had thank offerings with them. But then individual thanksgivings as well. You didn't have to wait until Passover. If you wanted to go and something God blessed you and you wanted to recognize it, you could. Where did they do this at? At the tabernacle or at the temple? Where all these Levitical sacrifices are performed. Why would they do these? Why would they do this? Well, because they were expressing gratitude to God for an unexpected blessing or received deliverance. They were showing forth that there was peace between them and God, and so they're going to have this feast. How? How? Well, like we've already talked about, it's an offering that's going to be shared. They were going to share it. And it wasn't all like that. Some sacrifices were wholly for God. You burned the whole animal up there. But with the peace offerings, and particularly thank offerings, you were required to take it home, and you were required to eat it. There was going to be a feast. Well, I say all that to say this. We believe, and we understand, that in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Hebrews, all of these sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were shadows, they were symbols of the great sacrifice in Jesus Christ and what Jesus would come to do. But I want you to see that the sacrifice here, it was bloody, it was burdensome, it was insufficient, it had to be offered again and again and again. But notice that there was joy, and there was gladness, and there was celebration with these thank offerings. Why? There was a feast. And people liked that part. In fact, as we read a little bit later on in our Old Testament history, thank offerings particularly were mocked and polluted by Israel, corrupted by Israel. When the 10 northern tribes of Israel who were following King Jeroboam, they seceded around the year 931 B.C. From the kingdom of Judah. But they also apostatized spiritually. And Jeroboam set up these golden calves in the towns of Dan and the town of Bethel and told the Israelites, you don't have to go all the way back to the tabernacle, or rather the temple, to offer your sacrifices. Just go to Bethel, just go to Dan and do the worship there. He got all the people to be practicing idolatry. Well, it's interesting in Amos chapter 4, verse 4, when Amos preaches against all that, he says, come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Those are those sacrifices we're talking about. Proclaim and announce the freewill offerings. For this you love, you children of Israel. says the Lord God. What's he said? Oh, you go to these places, you can practice idolatry, and what's the feasts, what's the sacrifices you're always sure to do? The thank offerings, the free will offerings. Why? Because those were the parties. That's when they got to keep the food. That's when they got to eat the food and have a big time. The people were practicing idolatry. They were calling it true worship. They wanted the feasts. But there wasn't truly reconciliation and fellowship between them and God. That's what the feasts were supposed to show. They just wanted the feasts. They had polluted their religion. So it was mockery. It was sinful. They had taken the blessing of worshiping God. They turned it into nothing but revelry and parties. And God was not pleased. And it is a sad thing when people receive and enjoy the many blessings of God without thanking Him. When people want the gifts, and they love the gifts, but they fail to thank the gift giver. That is a sad thing. But I want you to see in this first point that for the faithful Jews, peace offerings, and especially these thank offerings, sacrifice of thanksgiving, they were joyous. They were blessed. Wonderful occasion celebrating God's goodness toward them or their nation. Well, we're not under the Old Testament today, are we? Not Old Testament Israelites, we're New Testament Christians. And as the Bible unfolds, we see, number two in your notes, that Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our peace. All these peace offerings, all these sacrifices, and we come to the New Testament and learn that Jesus is our peace. Now, we said He fulfilled all of the sacrifices in one way or another, but we're really talking about these peace offerings, so these offerings of thanksgiving, and we read that Jesus is our peace. I want you to see with me from Colossians 1 and verse 19, how in Jesus Christ there is the true, the ultimate reconciliation of sinners with God Almighty through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ. In your New Testament, in Colossians 1, verse 19, Colossians 1, verse 19. The Apostle Paul was inspired to write, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell." This is in Jesus. Verse 20. "And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself." By Him. "Whether things on earth or things in heaven. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister." What's he saying there? We're seeing here that in the Old Testament, there were these peace offerings that showed forth reconciliation and fellowship between God and His people Israel. But in the New Testament, that reconciliation and that peace has been provided in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone, upon the cross of Calvary. And the people who are alienated and estranged from God because of their sin and their wickedness can have all of those things forgiven, can be a part of His body and a part of His family when they obey the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, when you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you confess your faith that He is the Son of God, when you repent and determine that you will live for God, when you are baptized, when you are immersed in water, that your sins be washed away, when you are baptized into Jesus Christ, He puts you in His body and you are reconciled with God. You have peace with God. The relationship with God is right. Why? Because Jesus died for your sins. He paid for your sins and He's forgiven you your sins. When you are baptized, you're identified with Jesus Christ just as surely as those old Israelites would put their hands on an animal to be identified. This is how you are in Christ, and you are baptized into Christ, and you have peace. How reconciliation is achieved in Jesus. He is our peace. Now things are right between us. You say, "Well, I know the day I'm baptized, my sins are washed away, and everything's right, but I've fallen since then. I've sinned since then." Sometimes we stray far. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that restoration is in Jesus Christ.
again, the peace is only going to be found there when we fall short, when we leave the Lord. It's not that God has forgotten us or forgotten about people that do that. He hasn't. He's calling them back. He's calling them to repentance. He's calling them to have forgiveness and relationship again through Jesus Christ. So interesting, when you read the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, you have this picture, this image of Jesus kind of walking through his churches, those seven churches of Asia, and the churches are in a terrible situation. Most of them. Not all, but most of them. They've left the doctrine. They've corrupted their worship. He's calling them to repent. He's calling them to be restored. He's calling them to do the first works. I mean, he's calling them back. And this great appeal, this great callback, if you will, kind of comes to a head in Revelation 3 and verse 20, where he says to his churches, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Again, what is the sign? What is the symbol? Everything's right between me and God now. The dining together. The communal meal, the feast, if you will. We're right, and so we eat together. We're right, and so we share this table together. Jesus is talking to his churches, Christians, who really were leaving him in this passage, not talking to the unconverted. And so reconciliation is through Christ, restoration through Christ. I want to show something else with you real quick, this idea of how do I know things are right between me and God and this sharing of table. Consider the Lord's Supper in light of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse number 13, or rather 14, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14, here's the Apostle Paul. He's doing a little teaching about the Lord's Supper, about communion. In contrast with idolatry, some of those Christians evidently were still going around in temples and dabbling in some idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14 says this, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion or sharing of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or sharing of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?" That calls us right back to these peace offerings, to these thank offerings we're talking about, because these are the kinds of sacrifices where everyone partook, where they ate the sacrifices. And it says when they ate, they shared. When they ate, they were together in these things. Now, brother, I don't say that. There's never going to be turkey or sweet potatoes on the Lord's table, okay? Let's not get confused about what we're saying this morning. But the memorial meal shows forth sharing. It shows forth communion. That's why the word is used. Communion with the Lord, communion with one another. And it's that same type of communion we see in the Old Testament with these sacrifices of thanksgiving. Paul uses the Old Testament practice of sharing at the altar to make the point that because Christians eat at the Lord's table, we shouldn't be eating at idols' tables. We shouldn't be practicing idolatry. We won't share in that. But this communion is possible only because there's peace, only because there's reconciliation and fellowship, and that happens through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace. If you want peace with God, you want peace in your soul and in your life, it must be in Jesus Christ. And so let's try to make it practical here, number three in your notes, and just talk about peace, thanksgiving, and you. Peace, thanksgiving, and you. We see how this is sort of typified for us in the Old Testament, what was going on with the Levites. We appreciate the great fulfillment that is in Jesus Christ. I want you to look with me at a passage in Colossians again. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15. And maybe it reads just a little different to us because of this study this morning. I hope so. In Colossians 3 and verse 15, we read, the Christians are told, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." this thank offering language all over this verse, isn't there? Because you are right with God, everything else will work out. If God is for us, who can be against us? Because you're right with God and Jesus is our peace, there's a peace of God that can be in our hearts. And because you are right with God and Jesus is our peace, you have so much, we have so much to be thankful for. Be thankful. Our reconciliation with God, our fellowship with God, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, this is ours. We're a thankful people. We know we have this fellowship because we're in His body. We're in His church. It's a wonderful thing. Have peace. Be thankful. Things are good. And so while the dispensation may change, we don't live under the Old Testament. We're not Jews. We're New Testament Christians. The gratitude and thanksgiving to God, that remains. We are to be thankful. Just like Israelites were thankful. Let me give you three ways particularly. We saw it in Leviticus 22 on our scripture reading this morning. I'm going to go back there real quick in Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 29. He gives more teaching there about these thank offerings, these sacrifices of thanksgiving. It says in Leviticus 22 and verse 29, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. On the same day it shall be eaten. You shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord." What were they supposed to be thankful for back then? What do we need to be thankful for today? Number one, thank God for who He is. What did He say? I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And the more we discover about God and His character and His attributes, His mighty deeds, His love and grace, how can we be but thankful? The more we know of Him, the more thankful we are. Let's never worship the gifts in our life. Let's never worship the blessings in our life. Let's worship the gift giver. Let's worship the Father who blesses us all. Be thankful to God for who He is. Second, from Leviticus 22, thanksgiving comes from our free will. Verse 29, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." That's not gratitude if it's any other way. No coercion here. No compulsion here. In the Old Testament, the thank offerings, these were not obligatory. All right? They weren't seen as duty. They were free will. Because you want to. Because you mean it. That's true thanksgiving from a free will. And then number three, thanksgiving to God. That's a joyful experience. What do we read in verse 30? "You shall leave none of it until the morning." It shall be eaten. It's time to feast. It's time to share. Be thankful and joyous about God's goodness. Give to the family. Give to the neighbors. Give to the poor that all might get something. Because of our gratitude to God, because of God's goodness to us. And I can't help but notice that in the New Testament, thanksgiving is associated with joyful things. It's supposed to be thankful, and we sing. Colossians 3:15 says, "Be thankful." And it goes on the next verse, verse 16, telling us to let the word of Christ dwell within us richly, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. "Let everything be done in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through the Lord to God." Thanksgiving and singing, joyful things. These are tied together. It's supposed to be a time of joy. Well, kind of wrapping up here with two thoughts. Well, the first is this: be thankful to God, and Christians always can be, because of the reconciliation that we have to God through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is our peace. And know that this is a sort of an unexpected deliverance and an unexpected blessing that thank offerings were all about. A great blessing, a great deliverance. I want to show two passages with you from Romans, and then the lesson is yours. First, that this is an unexpected blessing. At least I think we would all say undeserved, along with the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul makes it clear how unworthy we are of this gift in Christ. That He would die for us and rise again. That He would offer us fellowship and forgiveness and all these wonderful things. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What a blessing that Christ would die for us! How unexpected in that, how unworthy we are. We're not the good or righteous folks He's talking about, but maybe you can make a case for someone would die. We're sinners. Will you die for us? And along with that, oh, the unexpected, the deliverance by the gospel. That the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we cannot save ourselves. And we cannot make another way. These are reasons for thanksgiving. Christians, we have so much to be thankful for. And I love the song we sang before the lesson about counting our blessings, and we live in a wonderful place. But those physical creature comforts, food, it just does not compare to the peace of Christ. It does not compare to what He's given us in Christ and what we have spiritually. Because we are in Christ. Are you thankful? If you're a Christian, you should be thankful. You got a lot to be thankful for. If you're not thankful today, your heart doesn't well up with gratitude when you think about what Jesus has done for you, then it's time to repent and appreciate who we are and who God is. What He has done, that we be reconciled, that there be fellowship. And we have so much to be thankful for and rejoice in God. That only by the gospel of Christ can we know genuine peace and thanksgiving. Well, we're going to sing a song of encouragement now. Maybe there's one here who's ready to become a Christian. To know the peace that's in Christ. That He would make peace for you, between you and God Almighty. You would confess Him, that you believe He is the Son of God, if you would be baptized, and your sins would be washed away at this time, and you leave here a Christian, and one whose heart is full of the peace of God. If we can help you with that or in a spiritual need, we ask that you would come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?